Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces with Walt Ruble and Peter Goodman. Let me remind you at the outset that if you want to call in and question or agree with or disagree with our guest or us, we're at 526-5825, 575-526-5825. Love to hear your views. Our guest this half hour is Lucas Herndon, local citizen all his life. I met him at one point in connection with a community garden when you and your daughter were had a plot in the community garden on Espina. So welcome, first of all.
Thanks. Good morning. Welcome. Always happy to be here.
You have fairly strong views on law enforcement and problems with local police or with police generally. What would you most, if you were putting a headline to that or a topic paragraph, what would you tell folks about that?
Sure. Well, I've been doing a series on my personal Facebook that I say, what do I mean when I say ACAB? And then I follow that up with, my name is Lucas, and this is why I think we don't need police anymore. So it stems from my conviction that as a white person in this country who wants to stand with my neighbors, no matter their race, creed, immigration background, identification, whoever they are, I want to stand with them. And one of the things that has been top of mind for folks of color, specifically black folks, going back at least 10 years in sort of its current iteration, but, we could argue it goes back through this entire country's history, has been this call to either abolish the police or defund the police. There are specific instances of what those two things mean, but one of the calls is for allies to stand up and say that out loud because it is just statistically safer for white people to say things like that than it is for black folks to say things like that.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I've been trying to take the platform that I have as a person who's been active and works on other political things and therefore has sort of inroads into the political community. I've been taking those opportunities to say that out loud.
So how does that work? If we don't have police, is it every man for himself and, guard your own castle however you can, or
sure. Yeah, I think that's always the argument tends to always go there immediately.
Yeah,
For good reason.
Well, I would disagree. I don't think that it is a good reason. I think that it presumes a lot of information between A and Z. There's a lot of letters in between. But we can start with the idea that when we look at this country in particular. If we look at statistics and places that don't have quote unquote crime, those places are always very well funded. They are places that have good education systems. They have populations where the homes provide both, security in a physical sense, but also have resources near them, whether it's parks, schools, stores. The people in the houses have access to jobs, things like that. So if the premise is that we have to have cops because we have crime,
well, those areas have crime. They have lower crime rates, but they affluent areas have crime.
Sure.
Let me ask you this too: the lowest. I mean, when you look at crime in cities, consistently the lowest crime city around. Lowest crime rate city around is El Paso, Texas, which happens to be on the border and explodes a lot of talk about border people. But does El Paso fit most of what you just said? I'm doubting it, but I'm no expert.
I mean, it certainly fits that the areas within El Paso itself fall into that same criteria, meaning that if you live in Sunset Heights, you have lower crime than if you live downtown.
Right.
But go ahead and finish that up.
So what we can first of all assume is that if we were to more generously and more fairly and more justly provide the same level of resources across the board, that we would see a decrease in crime and therefore wouldn't need as much policing.
That's fair.
And then the potential, I guess you could call it the converse of that argument, is also true, which is that we fund police more, which we have statistically over and over and over, and while we are seeing a decrease in crime, while we were seeing an increase in crime over certain periods of time, we also saw an increase in police spending. And what's happened is that the crime has gone down and the police spending has continued to go up. And so the problem with that is that you, again, statistically see more cops means more cop violence. And so one of the reasons why I've gotten loud about this recently is because under the current regime, the federal government, with the federalizing of police, a great example would be in Washington, D.C., or the issuing National Guard and Marines in Los Angeles, and the complicity of local police forces with those actions, we are at a dangerous place to have as much localized police, especially who are so militarized, in our communities.
I don't think you get any argument here as to what's going on in D.C., it's indefensible, but and I think most folks would agree with you. Even a lot of cops, I think, if they thought about it, one of the things when you talk to police is there and or look at the situation is they're being asked to do every tough thing in the area, and there are a lot of tough things because capitalism causes more homelessness, and modern society, for whatever reason, drives a lot more people crazy than I think earlier versions did. And we ask the police to deal with the homeless. We ask the police to deal with the demented, not just dangerous folks, but everything. And I think you'd get a lot of agreement on the idea that we ought to spend more money on preventive action than on, purely police to punish people or try to catch people afterward and all of that. But I don't think, would you contend that you could effectively get rid of the police department tomorrow?
So I think that the question is, if I had the power to do so, would I fire all the police officers?
Yeah. Would you send them all home on furlough? Or?
Sure. I don't think that system would work well for a number of reasons. And one thing that I will contend is that, while I have my views on all police and police forces, I recognize the humanity of the people inside the uniforms and I don't believe in firing people for no cause at all.
Can I get back to my original question, though, because I still don't think you've addressed it. So if you get rid of the police, somebody's breaking into my house, who do I call? What do I do?
That's a great question. If somebody is breaking into your house, right now you call the police, and then what happens?
They send an officer. Hopefully they send an officer.
Yeah, hopefully they send an officer.
Right.
So to prevent somebody from committing a crime, we either have to presuppose that there are enough police everywhere that they quote unquote prevent the crime, or we recognize that cops don't prevent crime and they only respond to crime. And so your question doesn't actually have anything to do with whether or not police should exist, because if something is already happening, then what? There are other things we could do. A great example is Las Cruces Police has expanded, and the city has done a good job of this, of creating a non-emergency personnel force that responds to things like car accidents.
Okay.
And so if your car gets into an accident and you want to get your insurance filled out, you need a police report. I understand that. That's a part of the system that we've created. So if we abolish the police, what about your car accidents? So we have these other systems. So to answer your question, right. if somebody's breaking into your house, should there be somebody who can call, who you should call, you can call
I
to
would
help?
Hope so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Does it need to be the same armed response force that responds to somebody who is asleep on a park bench or responds to your car accident? No, I would argue we don't need that. Should there be some kind of a response force? Yes. Does it need to be the police as it currently exists? No.
What would it be?
It could be a system of community defense groups. It could be something like a security guard. You know, it's so funny. The Las Cruces, the city of Las Cruces, you know, we've been going back and forth about funding the police. And then just this past Monday, they voted to spend $15 million on private security for all of the city facilities.
But that just worsens the problem. If you're depending on private security, you're going to have all that you need in the affluent areas and not in the poorer areas.
Right, right. So what I'm saying is that we don't need private security. We need to reorganize our public assets, which, you know, our tax dollars, in ways that aren't funding these, you know, militarized, very statistically violent people who have a license to be violent to respond to every emergency within our community.
Although I have my criticisms of the police, and I think there ought to be a citizens' oversight board, and you know, agree with you on a lot of issues, are they statistically violent in the sense that they have a lot of calls. They have a lot of calls that are very frustrating, either because the people are angry, cursing them out, whatever it may be, or the people are not all there mentally, or whatever it may be. The violence on police part, unjustified, because sometimes they are attacked or threatened. You know, if somebody points a gun at you, it's reasonable to point one back and maybe shoot it. But the unjustified police violence, what are the statistics on that? I mean, I know what police say. What do you say?
Well, what I know from their own reporting, from police reporting sources, is that across this country, less than 60 police officers were killed last year, and police killed over 2,000 people in this country.
Okay, that's not a greatly helpful number to me, in the sense that, you know, I look at the examples here, and a lot of them are examples. I mean, I don't think the I'm drawing a blank on her name. Wrote a poem about Baca,
Mamilia
Baca. You know, I don't agree with that killing. I certainly don't agree with the Valenzuela killing. You know, there are several different ones. There are others I don't have enough knowledge, like the Easy killing. But there are several where it seems plain that somebody asked for it. You even see situations where people want to commit suicide by cop. So the fact I would expect there to be, unless we were in a situation where we had armed insurrection, I would expect those numbers to be, like you just quoted, even if the police are all perfectly well behaved.
I mean, I think that.
So that statistic doesn't help.
Sure. I find it fundamentally egregious that we have state employees, and by state I mean the representation of our state.
Right. We're paying people to carry guns.
Correct. Right. Well, and to execute citizens. That part is the part that I fundamentally disagree with. I fundamentally disagree with the concept of the death penalty at a carceral level. And let alone on the street level being executed
Absolutely. So and people like Valenzuela get executed for non-capital crimes.
Yeah. And again, it's not that I have necessarily changed my mind about this a ton. Part of the reason that I've been loud about it recently has to do with trying to get more people to understand that the encroaching police violence that has been a hazard to people of color in this country for decades, if not, again, our entire history, is now something that is an existential threat to all of us. And a great example is going back to D.C., but again, sort of setting that precedent, because it is true here. We just passed this in New Mexico as well. It is a felony to spit on a cop. That's considered assault. And so if we follow that through, if a cop knows that it's a felony to spit on them and therefore it's assault, they could at that point justify, you know, use of force, right? I'm using air quotes here for yeah. our listeners. And so what I'm worried about and what terrifies me is that having, you know, and I feel like I've talked about this before, and I don't know if we have a whole full time. I have a story from when I had police violence enacted upon me in my own home, and that was a big fundamental shift in how I felt about it. Mm-hmm. But what I saw is that when police officers, because of their training, and that's part of the problem is that they are trained to think this way, to react this way. Because of those trainings, when they are confronted with anybody who disagrees with them or wants to have this kind of a conversation with them, their response is immediately and always violence. There is no room for them under their job, under the way that the Supreme Court has said that their job is not to protect citizens but only to carry out the laws. Like, those things create a situation where they can only respond with use of force, and whether that force is deadly or not.
I'm not sure I agree with you.
Well, certainly there are situations day after day after day where they don't respond with force. And I guess the issue I have is if you're talking about police reform, if you're talking about making them better, then yes, I'm in agreement. But I still don't have an answer to my original question. We have to have a criminal justice system. We have to have courts. We have to have a way of holding people accountable. And there has to be somebody at the front end of that system who does the dirty work of apprehending people who sometimes may be violent and difficult to apprehend. I just, the idea of abolishing that, I don't know how the criminal justice system works, and I don't know how we don't slip into everybody get a gun and defend your own home and do the best you can.
Well, I mean, I just don't know how to impress upon you that doesn't exist in other places in the world that don't have the kind of policing that we have.
But they have some.
They do have some.
Okay.
And
so you're talking about reform. You're not that.
Right. But here's the problem. And you know this as well as I do, that in our country, because of the way our particular democratic process works, things move glacially slow. And so if we talk about police reform, you know, what does that look like and how long does it take? So I am approaching this from the perspective of we do need to, so I know what I said earlier, and so for this example, let me just say this. Would I fire, if I got the power to do so, would I fire all those cops overnight? I said no, I wouldn't, because of various reasons.
Human, right.
What do I think needs to happen? I do think that the police force just needs to be written out of a budget, and then that money, those resources, need to be reallocated into ways that we can more specifically help communities in different ways. And if some of that funding went into having some kind of first responder program, then that would be – but it needs to be designed from the bottom up.
I would be with you if you reversed those. If you said we ought ultimately to get rid of the police, so therefore we ought to spend a bunch of money now on preventing the kinds of things that necessitate police, and get to a point where we have the kind of human safety that you're claiming exists elsewhere, which is true to some degree, but you ain't getting it magically here by just sending the police away. If you were doing that first to make things much more safe for people, and then let the police atrophy over time, great. But I mean, there are some number of people, first of all, in our country, unlike some others, you can have guns, and I know you have guns. So that makes people more individual, people who are bent out of shape, more dangerous to others. But there are just some number of people that either are lazy and greedy and want to take things from other people, or had bad childhoods or whatever it is and are really bent out of shape. Some of them vicious to themselves and anybody around them and out of control. And I don't know how Walt's going to deal with them. If they come to his house and try to break in, or you are, except you, okay, you might have your gun out. But if they happen to catch you on the street, even as much as you've worked out, I don't know how you're going to deal. The police.
Yeah, I think, you know, I hear this argument all the time, and I guess one of the things that I struggle, maybe the reason I'm having a hard time answering your question is that, I've lived in my house for 19 years. Over 19 years, I've had a bike stolen off my porch, and that's it. That's the only crime that has occurred to my property.
Right.
In those 19 years, there's probably a total of less than 30 minutes that a police officer has been on my street. So out of 19 years, 30 minutes, there's been police there to, quote unquote, prevent crime. How do you explain the rest of the 19 years minus 30 minutes that crime didn't happen at my house? So my point is that your contention is that without police, there will just be a wave of crime. My contention is that actually there isn't that much crime happening anyway. And therefore, the overall increase in both police budgets and then overall amount of police themselves isn't justified.
I mean, my experience is similar. I mean, I had a bicycle stolen in San Francisco. I don't think I ever have had anything stolen here.
Okay, I had my home broken into while I was on vacation.
Yes.
So, you know, we all have different experiences.
Somebody's calling the police. I mean, you know, I think as well as I do, there are a large number of calls to the police every day, more than they can handle. Some of those are people who are dangerous, have either done something or they're dangerous to themselves or... It's happening. The police aren't inventing that. That is happening.
Right, but the reason that people are calling those numbers is because it's the only system in place that we've given our communities to do something about it. And if we had other systems in place that had an opportunity.
Right. And I'm saying get those in place first, gradually, because anything's going to be gradual. If you want to say that in a better society, if we spent more money on mental health for people, if we were a more egalitarian society, if more people were educated, whatever it is, and I agree with all of them.
So,
if we had that, then the police could atrophy. Great.
But sure. So currently in the U.S., as of 5 years ago, the U.S. spends twice as much on law enforcement as it does on cash welfare data shows. It's a headline from the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. So what you're proposing is that we somehow, with the limited resources that we all have in all communities, that we somehow not just double what we're spending, but potentially then triple what we're spending?
I would point out that, and I mentioned this to a U.S. senator yesterday in here, we could get a lot of money from corporations and rich folks in taxes. The accepted situation when I was young was you made a vast amount of money, way more than anybody needs. The tax rates on that excess were like 91%, 92% for most of the time we were doing great economically in the 50s, late 40s, 50s into the early 60s. Now it's 37%. So, yeah, I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to spend less on some of the things we do spend on in terms of including subsidizing oil and gas. But, yeah, I think to do what you're wanting to do, which I certainly agree with, you know, have a society that's less violence, less dependent on the police. I think that's how you get there. I mean, you don't, and I think you would, you can't answer Walt's question really in terms of now situation in our country being what it is. If somebody breaks into his house and they're trying to break in and he's scared, doesn't have a gun, he's going to call the police.
Sure, and they're going to show up after the fact. And so here's, I guess this is, you know, to answer the question, because from what we can, well, from the mental exercise that you're proposing, either you call the police and you say out loud, "I'm calling the police," and then that person runs away, or you say that and they don't run away and they attempt to grab something and then run away, or they attempt to harm you before the police get there. None of those things change with or without the police.
Well, we are assuming that they are going to be late in responding. And I think given their current staffing, maybe that's a safe assumption. But maybe there's an officer right in the neighborhood when the call comes in and they get there and they stop it from happening. I mean, that is a possibility.
Sure. I think that what we've seen, though, is that in going back to my original premise and this idea that building better communities in general creates those safer communities, that if like in my neighborhood, if my neighbor two houses up has a package stolen, and then they tell me and my next door neighbor and my across the street neighbor that it happened, and you know what they think, you know, happened, then the next time that we see that vehicle on the street kind of cruising by slowly, and we go out and we look at them and wave and let them know that we're watching them, and then they speed off, that prevented crime.
I agree.
Far better. Yep. And so
We have a very good neighborhood watch program where I live, and we had those guys on the show once, and I agree with all of that. I just don't think it replaces, which is kind of what you're wanting to do. I think it supplements, and I think, but there has to be something. Like I said, if you're advocating for reform, if you're advocating for making it better, I think people are with you.
Yeah, I think that I'll just continue to say this over and over again, that advocating for reform has been something that has been going on since before my time. Yeah. And there hasn't been, or the attempts at it haven't worked. So I will continue to call for the divestment of all resources from the police, and the abolishment of the system as it currently exists, because that is the way I think that we can accomplish what we're talking about. If others want to continue to work on reform from the other processes, I certainly won't impede those processes. I just don't think that it will, A, move fast enough, or B, ever work.
Well, I think it has made progress, not fast enough, not full enough.